Well, good morning. Just have a short reading this morning. How many of you are done with your Christmas shopping? Anybody? Everybody? You have another day and a half. Walmart's open 24 hours. Praise God. Anyways, we just wanted to remind you that one of the greatest things that we can give is a God gift this season, and that's the gift of love. So this is a reading of the Christmas version of 1 Corinthians 13. If I decorate my house perfectly with plaid bows and strands of twinkling lights and shiny balls, but do not show love to my family, I'm just another decorator. If I slave away in the kitchen, baking dozens of Christmas cookies, preparing gourmet meals, and arranging a beautifully adorned table at mealtime, but do not show love to my family, I'm just another cook. If I work at a soup kitchen, carol in the nursing home, and give all that I have to charity, but do not know how to love my family, it profits me nothing. If I trim the spruce with shimmering angels and crocheted snowflakes, attend a myriad of holiday parties, and sing in the church choir, but do not focus on Christ, I have missed the point. Love stops the cooking to hug the child. Love sets aside the decorating to kiss the spouse. Love is kind, though harried and tired. Love doesn't envy another's home that has coordinated Christmas china and table linens. Love doesn't yell at the kids to get out of the way, but is thankful they are there to be in the way. Love doesn't give only to those who are able to give in return, but rejoices in giving to those who can't. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Video games will break or go out of... will be passé soon. Pearl necklaces will be lost. Golf clubs will rust. But giving the gift of love will endure. So we wish you a joyful and a meaningful Christmas.
Christmas. Everybody excited? I'm excited. I'm glad. It's a great time for family. And I think if there's one thing that I really believe this church is called to be, is a family. So it's good to be with family this morning. Good to be with you all. I just love you. I really care. Sometimes when we see people go through struggles like we've been seeing, you know, it's hard as a family to watch. And so I just ask that over this next little while, you really lift up these couple families in prayer. Gordon and Linda and the kids there. And I know Tanya's been going through some pretty hard health things. She probably would never like me to say, but she's just got some problems in her mouth and she can't eat and she's just in a lot of pain. So she really needs our prayers. Probably knows she's lost a ton of weight. And so she really just needs prayer. She needs a family to stand with her. So please do that over this next while. And the Jespersons, Jordan is out of the hospital now. He's at home, but he's still trying to put on some weight. He's pretty pale. Christine was there on Thursday. So we just really need to stand with. The Bible says in James, if there's any sick among you, call the elders of the church. If there's any afflicted, pray, right? And these people are afflicted. They're people that are going through long-term kind of battles and struggles, and they really need prayer of the family, of the saints, to be with them. So during this season, really hold them up throughout the season, whatever season. But especially in this time, we just want to be with our family and our family to be healthy and happy and together, right? So that's big time. We need to pray and we need to believe God. It's Christmas, and it's a time when the Bible talks about how before Jesus came, the darkness covered the earth. There was sin had taken its hold on creation and on mankind. But when Jesus came, a light arose. Most of us know this scripture from Isaiah 60. But I don't think a lot of us have ever linked this with Christmas. So I'm going to read this scripture, part of it, to you. And then we're going to go on and we're just going to talk today about how to be a wise man. Because I think there's some real big lessons that we can learn from the wise men. There were some things that they did specifically that we read through so fast that we miss. You know, when we sing the old song, "We Three Kings of Orient Are." tried to smoke a rubber cigar or something like that. we sing these songs or we sing these little Christmas carols and we forget the meaning of this, of what actually happened. So we're going to look at that today. But this is in Isaiah 60, and this is talking about the time before Christ and what was going to happen when Jesus came. It's a prophetic scripture to prophesy the Messiah's coming. And it says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you." The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar. Your daughters will be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your hearts will swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles will come to you. So, this scripture is specifically talking about the coming of Jesus. And when we see the Gentiles would come to the brightness of their rising, it's really predicting the kings. Because even a little further in Isaiah 60, it talks about how they would bring gold and frankincense to the king. So this morning, I just want to talk about the kings. Because we read, and I've said this already, so I'm not going to just mull over the same thing again. But these guys, the Bible teaches us, came from quite a distance away. People think maybe a year and a half to 2 years before they saw Jesus. He was a young child when they saw him, not a baby anymore. These guys came from probably Babylon or Assyria. They were come from quite a distance, and they were already convinced before they came that Jesus was the Messiah, the King of the Jews. They already knew who he was. They were already fully convinced. Probably because at that time, they already had heard about Jesus. They already heard about the Messiah. Some think because there was heirs from Abraham that were in that area at the time. But a lot of people believe that it's because of what Daniel being in Babylon and spending his time there, that there was a remnant of people that had come to believe on God of the Hebrew people as their Lord, and that they were waiting for the Messiah with them. So when the king saw the star in the east, they knew what it was about, and they came to worship Jesus. I think that one of the things we have to know about the kings is they already knew who he was. They already knew who he was. They knew that he was king. They knew he was Messiah. No point traveling all that distance and on taking all that time if he was just another baby being born. But they knew who he was. So these scriptures, as we look at what the kings did, as we look at what these scholars or these magi did, they didn't do it as people that were away from God, but they did it as people who already knew God and were already looking for Jesus, just like us. We know God. We want to know Jesus more. We want to know him more. So I'm going to read this scripture. It's found in Matthew 2, verse 1 to 14. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." But when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where the Christ should be born. And they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the governors of Judah. For out of you shall come a governor who shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, inquired of them exactly what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again so that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them until it came and stood over where the child was. And seeing the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And opening their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. First thing about the wise men that I want us to know is that they took whatever time was necessary to have an encounter with the king. They took whatever time was necessary. They traveled miles and miles. They took time out of their life. They took hardship upon themselves. They traveled to see the king. Tradition tells us that these astrologers or scientists had traveled a great distance and spent considerable time to make this journey to see the one that was to be born the king of the Jews. It was a bit odd that men from this high state, really, because these were considered kings or magi, and probably quite wealthy, that when they arrived in Jerusalem, there was no fuss made over them, really. They weren't greeted. They weren't really welcomed. They went into the king to find out about the child that was born. But when they left the king, there was no one from Herod's court. There was no one from the governor. There was no one from the religious leaders of the time that went with them, on with them toward Bethlehem to find the king with them or to help them or to guide them. There's no mention of that. They must have wondered, after having traveled so far to see this king of the Jews, this Messiah that was born, they came to Jerusalem where Hebrew worship, where Jewish worship was performed, and they saw no excitement and no thrill there about the king. They must have wondered that they had traveled this far and they had not, they were excited to see the king. They were excited to have an encounter with the Son of God, the Messiah, but the people that had worshipped him in his temple, the people that had been close, the people that were nearby, weren't even thrilled, didn't even notice, didn't even care, didn't even want to help them find this king. So in Matthew 2, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the day of King Herod, behold, the wise men came from the east to Jerusalem." I'm just reading some of these verses again, saying, "Where is he who is born the king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and we've come to worship." It seemed no bother to them to do what must be done to see the king. It didn't seem like a big deal to them. It was a fact. They saw the star, they packed their camels, and they went. They went to see the king. I think it's pretty interesting that the ones who had traveled the greatest distance were the ones who were most excited, where the ones who were close by seemed to have taken the event for granted. There was so much prophecy that led toward this moment. There was so many things that had led up to the day when Jesus was born. And there were so many things that had happened even on the night that he was born that it couldn't have been kept quiet. There was a miracle that happened in Bethlehem, and the people had to know. But there was no interest. It's really no different today. I see people who have been far from Christ and who have realized and gotten a realization of the goodness and the kindness of Jesus, and they've come so far from where they were to where they are to find Christ and to know Christ, and they're so excited. Where sometimes people have known him for a while, some of us who have walked with him for a time don't seem to think it's as big a deal. I think in this Christmas season, one of the things we should really focus on is really taking the time necessary to connect once again with our Lord. I don't know about you, but sometimes life gets busy. Sometimes we just go through the motions and the routines. We come to church, we do our church thing, we smile, we sing, we listen, we go home, we can't always remember what happened. We sometimes just don't have that burning passion within us that we once had. And I don't think this is everyone, but I think that all of us go through these times where we sometimes take our walk with God for granted. And I'm just challenging you, as the wise men did, to spare no time and spare no expense into coming into a relationship and a communion with God, with His Son Jesus. This is the good news. We were separated from God by our sin. And Jesus came to this world. He stepped down into darkness, the song says. And He gave us life. He gave us a new life. And He wants us to be with Him. The biggest deal is that now we can be with Him. We can spend time with Him. We can connect with Him. So we need to do that. They must have wondered that they had traveled so far with gifts and with excitement to arrive in the land of the Jews and find no interest in the newborn king. John the Apostle writes about this in Revelations when he's talking to the church at Laodicea, talking to them about how they'd lost their first love. And he said in Revelations 3, verse 15, I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I would that you were either cold or hot. Goes on to say, if you aren't, I'll spit you out of my mouth. But this is the invitation that Jesus gives in Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Just as much as the wise men already knew who Jesus was and they came to worship him, John, Jesus in this verse is talking to people who already had an encounter with Christ, already knew who he was and was inviting them into a deeper walk with him. And I think that's what God would really want all of us to have today, is that if we would take time to come into a deeper walk with him. The second thing, the wise men were really willing to go the extra mile. Just as I just said, you know, when these guys showed up in Jerusalem, they weren't exactly greeted warmly. The Bible actually says that they were treated kind of roughly, I think. It says in Matthew 2, verse 3, but when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. That he was troubled. Herod was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. This Herod was a psycho. Herod was crazy. Herod killed all of his wives. He killed so many of his wives. He actually, it says in the history books that he had one wife that he liked, and in the end he said, well, I really wish I wouldn't have killed her. I liked her. Really nice guy. He killed several of his own kids. And before he died, because one of his sons was favored to take the throne from him and the people liked him, he killed his son. He was nuts. And Herod was troubled because these three kings, or not three necessarily, I'm just saying three, but these wise men that came from the east said to him, who was really the Roman emperor, had named him Herod. This was his title, the King of the Jews. And these wise men came to him and said, where is this baby that was born King of the Jews? This guy killed his own son because he was afraid that his son would be liked more than him. And somebody was coming to him and saying, where is this person that was born to be the King of the Jews? He was ticked off, and all Jerusalem was upset, because whenever Herod was upset, bad things happened. Really, bad things really did happen. He was ticked off. And we know this because when the wise men left the country, as at the end of verse 12 it says, and they left the country another way, what Herod was asking all the questions for, he was asking, like, when did the star appear? How long have you been traveling? Because he was wanting to get a pinpoint on the date of Jesus' birth. And after the wise men left to go back to their land, Herod had every baby under 2 years old in the country murdered. Like, we just saw last week, I think one of the most horrible, horrible crimes that we could ever see. 20 children. Like, how do you get over that as a people? How do you as a town move on from that? I don't even know. But this country, every baby under 2 years old was murdered because of Herod. And because of his lust for power. I think we need to understand that when we read these scriptures, that it's just not, oh well, every baby under two died next. It's not that. It's a real people that struggled through real things. These guys weren't treated nicely, and even though they came to the wrong place in Jerusalem, because they thought the King of the Jews would be born in Jerusalem, even though they weren't treated with the respect and dignity that was required for their office, they moved on. And they went in search of the king. They went in search of him. I think that we give up too easy. I think sometimes we have an intention to connect with God and to be close to God. I think we have a desire to know God more. But when struggles or hardship come, or when things just don't click the way we think they should click, we get on our camels and we face east. The wise men didn't do that. Even though they encountered trouble, even though they encountered mistreatment, even though it wasn't what they expected to see, even though all of that, they pressed on to find Jesus. And that's really what God wants us to do. In Jeremiah 29, verse 12 and 13, it says, "And then," this is God speaking to Israel, and in turn us, because we are seed of Abraham, we are adopted into the family. It says, "Then you will call on me, and you shall go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." There's an all your heart kind of searching that God requires. We cannot take our relationship with God lightly and just flop around on it. We need to actually pursue God. We need to go after Him. We need to love Him with all our heart and seek and search for Him with all our heart. Are you searching for Him with all your heart? Or have you allowed yourself to lower the intensity? The third thing the wise men were willing to do was follow. They're willing to follow. I don't know about you, but I want to be the kind of person that will follow God even when it doesn't make sense. How many of you always think life makes sense? I don't. There's a lot of times where I'm thinking, God, I don't know if you know what you're doing, honestly. You know, and I want to be that kind of person. And the wise men, this is what the Bible says, when they heard the king, they departed in verse 9. And it says, "And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them until it came and stood over where the child was." Now, I live in Waynefleet, and a lot of things happen in Waynefleet. And I think, no matter where you come from, stars don't went. Like, stars don't move. Stars aren't to be followed. I mean, stars don't move. And even in Waynefleet, you know, it don't even matter if you smoke some of the good Waynefleet tobacco, it stars don't went. But that star went, and the wise men followed that star. The wise men pursued that star because they wanted to have an encounter with Jesus. They wanted to follow, even though it didn't make sense. There are a lot of things in our Christian life that don't make any sense, but we still need to follow. It doesn't make sense to love when you're hated, right? It doesn't make sense to forgive when the person that did wrong isn't even sorry. It doesn't make sense to give what you have so that you can get what God has. It doesn't make sense to love when there's no love in return. It doesn't make sense to serve in order to be great. It doesn't make sense. Kingdom of God is an upside-down kingdom. But if we follow Jesus and live in His presence, we'll have His presence in our life and His blessing in our life. The fourth thing is the wise men rejoice when they meet with Jesus. This verse could have been written to the church at Canada in Revelations, right? He wrote to a bunch of churches. But this verse, that we should rejoice like the wise men, should have been written to the church at Canada. The only time you really see Canadians get really excited is during a hockey game, and so it's been about 8 months since Canadians have gotten very excited. But we need to learn to rejoice and be filled with wonder at the fact that we get to do life with Jesus. We did nothing to deserve the love of God. We as mankind, we could say we wouldn't have done it, but I think we would have done it. Adam and Eve turned their back on God and wanted to do things their own way. And God had every right at that time to turn His back on us as a people and leave us to do our own thing and go our own way. And we could see even in the remnants of that in the world today of what doing things our own way and going our own way does. I don't think the world is getting to be a better place by the day. I think we see a lot of evil in our world, and we see a lot of selfishness, and we see a lot of people that are just are losing it on their own without God. The fact that we get to do life with Jesus is amazing. The fact that we can be called forgiven, that we could be forgiven for all of our sin. We could try and make it up. Have you ever had a friend or been in a relationship where you did something wrong and you tried to make it up? You tried to get it right. You tried to do whatever you could do. And there's really no time in that relationship where you just feel like, I did enough now. It's okay. It should be fair. The balance, the column should be balanced now, because there's never a feeling of that ever. But we can have that feeling because we know that Jesus came to earth and he wrote paid in full across every debt that we had. We're forgiven. We're called now the children of God. And that's amazing. That is amazing. And this is what the verse says in Matthew 2 verse 10. It says, and seeing the star, they rejoice with exceedingly great joy. Now this verse would have been really cool if they had said that they rejoiced, right? It would have been cool if it said that they were filled with joy. But it didn't just stop there. It said that they rejoiced with great joy. Right? It wasn't just a little bit of joy. It was great joy. And it goes on to say not only just great joy, but exceedingly great joy. Have you ever seen anybody that has exceedingly great joy? Like in our house, I'm worried this year, honestly, because my son Logan now is like 6'1" or 2", and he bounces at Christmas. He bounces like he bounces. And when he was little, it was okay. Our ceilings were safe. But I'm afraid now that we're going to have holes in our ceiling when he starts bouncing at Christmas time. Because he gets filled with great joy at Christmas. He just gets so excited. As soon as we picked him up from school on Friday, he was already starting to bounce. And he's bouncing harder and harder every minute since then. And it's getting hard to live with him. He's so excited, right? But exceedingly great joy is the kind of joy that makes people feel uncomfortable. It makes people like, you're strange, stay away from me. It's the kind of joy that people don't really care what anybody thinks or says. It's the kind of joy that's like, you know, unspeakable, right? And full of glory. It's like the whole world will know when you're filled with that kind of joy. It's like, remember the movie, Evan Almighty, do the happy dance, right? Do the dance. It's that kind of joy. It's the joy that floods from the inside out. And it's the kind of joy that we should have when we encounter the living Christ. It's the kind of joy that fills our heart and overwhelms us so that we could live a life that just shines the glory of God. And if you're not living that kind of joy today, then it's time to get in a room by yourself and start thinking about the goodness of God to you. Start thinking about what you were and what God saved you from and what you can have today, what God has planned for you today, that you're called children of God, sons of God, daughters of God, that you are forgiven, that there's no sin that holds a ransom on your life, that there's nothing to prevent you from being in the arms of God. Nothing. There's just so much that we can be thankful for. Think about what God saved you from. Think about what he saved you for. Think about what he has for you and what he wants to do through you. I think that when we have that kind of joy, remember that old song, I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Yeah, right? Like just joy. Be filled with joy. Like you can start now, right? Like, yeah, be filled with joy, right? Because Jesus came to earth on Christmas Day and we can know him. We can know God. And I'm so excited that you're so excited about that. Awesome. It's wonderful. God, help us. Be happy. Be full of joy. Jesus saved you. You don't have to die anymore. We get to live with God. We get to enjoy his presence. It's amazing. You know, we got the peace that passes understanding down in our heart. We got the wonderful love of our blessed Redeemer. Remember those songs, kindergarten or Sunday school songs? They were amazing. We are loved by God. Let's praise him. Let's rejoice. The Bible talks about that we come into your presence with joy, with thanksgiving, with praise. Some of those words just mean to twirl and to sing and to jump and to dance, to bounce, right? Put some holes in the ceiling in your life. Let's believe it and let's take time this season to know Jesus in that way. The fifth thing is wise men fall down and worship him. This word, they fell down and worshiped him, wasn't just like the word that every knee will bow. You know, as it says, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. This was actually a falling down, a prostrate before God because of who he was. When we recognize who God is, we should worship him. We should worship him. We should pour our life out to him. They fell down and they worshiped. These wise men, or magi, what they did was not rational. It was actually odd. Think about it. You're a king, or at least a wealthy person who's saw this star in the east. You believed that a prophecy had been fulfilled. You travel across the country. You come to the center of the Jewish religion. You find out that nobody there knows and nobody there cares. You follow a star. You follow a star to this house that's just a normal house, who has probably a teenage mom and a father who's a carpenter, who live in wealthy or adorned kind of place. They're just normal people, and it looks like a normal baby, but they fall down and they worship. Even though it didn't look like the kingdom of God was among them, they fell down and they worshiped. We need to do that. Even when things don't look the way we think they should look, even when it doesn't seem like maybe that God's kingdom is being fully expressed the way we thought it would, we should fall down and we should worship. We should give thanks to God. That's how to be wise. That's what it takes to be a person who encounters God in a really powerful way. And coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and they worshiped. Will you fall down? Will you worship before you can really see what you expect to see? Will you prostrate yourself before the king, even if it doesn't look like the kingdom is really in place yet? Wise men do. Wise men open their treasure and give to the king. Number six. When we realize who it is we worship, we will not hesitate to show our fealty. Fealty was a word that if you were a king, and there was a higher king, you poured out your finances toward that king to show your loyalty to the king. We do not hesitate to show that or respect to him by opening up our treasures to him with a joyful and thankful heart. This is a question that's been thrown around in the kingdom for a long time. You know, tithing, offering, all these things, but really, when we come to worship, part of worship is giving. Part of worship is opening our treasures to the King. This is what Matthew Henry's commentary has to say about giving of treasure. With ourself, we must give up all that we have to Jesus Christ. And if we be sincere in the surrender of ourself to Him, we should not be unwilling to part with what is dearest to us and most valuable. To him and for him, not our gifts accepted, unless we first present ourselves to him as living sacrifice. God had respect to Abel and to his offering. The gifts they presented, see, so God not only has respect for your offering when you open up your treasure to him, he has respect for you. He had respect for Abel and for his offering. And the gifts they presented were gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Money and money's worth. That's what Matthew Henry's commentary says. Wise people are generous people, generous toward God's kingdom. Last point is wise men get wiser. Really, because here's the deal. The king had every intention, I believe, of killing them. Of killing the baby, of doing whatever he had to do. But the Bible says in that verse, it says, "And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." I don't know if you need God's wisdom. I don't know if you need God to be a counselor to you. I don't know if you need to know more than you know. But when we're wise men, God shows us what we need to know to get done what we need to get done. And he did to the wise men. He helped them and showed them that there was danger and they left another way. So today what I want to do is just invite you to just be wise, to worship the king, to rejoice before the king, to take the time and the effort required to be with the king. And if you do that, I believe this could be the best Christmas you ever had, the best new year that you ever have as we move into this year of 2013. Thank you, Jesus, that you came to earth. Lord, we celebrate you. Lord, as we now have this time of fellowship and this time to be together and enjoy each other's company, Lord, I just pray that you'd be among us, Lord. Work among us, Lord. Heal us, strengthen us, Lord. Lord, help us to live life together, Lord, that we would love each other so the world would know that you sent Jesus. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.